Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, this is James Mercer from The Shins.
This is Shirley Manson.
This is Lotte Holst, co-founder of The Cure.
This is Huey Lewis giving you the story behind the song.
The Story Behind the Song is back with an exciting second season. We peel back the layers on music's most iconic hits with legendary artists like The Killers, Heart, The B-52s, Violent Femmes, Jewel, Huey Lewis, Modern English, and more. To keep the music flowing, we'll be sprinkling in classic episodes from our archives between each new one. So check out The Story Behind the Song wherever you get your podcast.
Journey through the stories that define the artists playing Bonnaroo. Who are they? What are they? What will you see? The what? Which bands? This year, that matter.
Yay.
With Brad Steiner and Barry Corder.
Hey guys, it's Barry. It is June 11th, and sadly, I'm recording this in my kitchen. Sad because it's June 11th, and right now it's 10 till 2, so typically, in about 10 minutes, I would be actually on the farm getting ready to do the media tour of the happiest place on earth. Isn't that something else? Typically I would be in Manchester on the farm with several of the Camp Nut Butter folks. But as you know, we're not there. And so we did this podcast today, kind of talking about the fact that we're not there. We hope you enjoy it. Hope you enjoyed it. But as always, and if that's the unfortunate thing that I'm here in my kitchen, the fortunate thing is that we have 48 of you people, Patreons. Amazing. Amazing that you guys have stuck with us. Amazing that you signed on. I don't need to tell you what this week means. That's why we're here, right? Bonnaroo, we love it, all of us. So wanted to say thank you, as we want to do every time we do an episode, by reading out the names. And if I just have your first name or initials, that's the way it came. If you want to share your full name, please do. We love to shout out and talk to you guys. And we can't thank you enough. So we really do appreciate it. So here we go. Thanks to Aaron Carlson, Bill, David Grimes, Frank Swanson, Liesl Condor, Phil Hanley, Timothy Proctor, Chloe Hannon, Dan Sweeney, Dustin Gehrig, Haley, Mary T, Melody, and Jesse Feldman. Hope you guys are doing well. Selling lots of records. Mitchell Stafford, Musical Antlers, one of my favorite names. Parker Reed. Hey, Parker. Good talking to you. Skyler, Tori, Chelsea Davis, Evan Brown, Gordon Silver, Jason Hazelbaker, Joshua Herndon, Lauren Edholm, Linda Doles, Lucy Young, Nick Yeatman, Ross McNamara, Ryan Mathewson, Sean McCarthy, Tyrone Basket, William Richards, Clay Wilhoit, Andrew McBride, Catherine Riccio, David Solano, Jacob Marty, Justin Nigro, Meredith Rittman, Brooke Tussey, Daniel and Charla Horton. Guys got a big weekend planned down there at the Rubus. Love those guys. David Henson. I'm going to do that every week, I'm sure. Ella, Phil Nye, Sean McCain, and some new Patreons, Benjamin Wells, Karen Sheets, Stephanie Romero, and DK. As I said, thank you guys so much. Wish we were all down there high-fiving and just having a great time. But it'll happen soon enough, and we'll be back together. But thank you for your support. Thanks for listening to the What Podcast on behalf of Taco and Brad and myself. So have a great weekend. We'll have another episode this weekend featuring Emmy Sunshine and a project that she was involved with. So we've got some cool stuff planned and can't wait to, get back to normal, if such a thing can even happen. Thanks, guys.
Strange times indeed. A lot to get to, a lot to talk about right off the top. This is a time for guys like these three white guys to shut up and listen and to hear what's on the mind of so many and that are angry, broken, fighting back, and want some sort of action. And I think it's time right now for especially big brands with big voices to speak up and not be silent, because silence is deadly right now. Barry Corder, Brad Steiner on the What Podcast with Lord Taco alongside. This is about the time that we would be driving to Manchester and setting up camp. So, what you doing?
Yeah, when you say about the time, I mean, you're like within 2 minutes of about the time. So it's right on it. Noon Eastern is about when we would be caravanning up I-24 towards Manchester for the 2 o'clock press conference up there.
So this is the thing that bums me out is, you know, Bonnaroo's great, and I love it, and the weekend is terrific, but this is my favorite day of Bonnaroo, is the day that we leave, and the drive is literally the best hour and a half of my year, is getting to the top of Mount Eagle and then driving down the back roads and seeing sort of, you know, the view on the top of Mount Eagle as you come down into, you know, the valley there, which, you know, you roll up into Manchester, and that, for some reason, that's when my life lets go, right? That's when worries, stress, everything disappear.
It's Alice in Wonderland going from black and white to color. It's the weirdest.
Wait, that's Wizard of Oz.
What did I say, Alice? Oh, my gosh.
Boy.
Yeah, Wizard of Oz. Man. Sorry. It is the most extraordinary. Because there's that hurry. And especially, we've talked about Brian Stone's in our group. Brian's worse than me. I'm not relaxed until we're parked, you know, because I always am anticipating. Yeah, I'm always anticipating some hassle, and we've never had. I mean, if we do, it gets fixed in 2 minutes. It's never a big deal, but it's just my nature.
But it's not something we've ever really had to worry about. No. You just worry about it because you feel guilty about what you're doing.
Well, that, and it's just my nature that some paperwork didn't get handled, you know, whatever. Right. But that drive, when we top the mountain and then head down that windy road, and suddenly you're in all that beautiful farmland in Middle Tennessee, you can pick up the Bonnaroo radio station. If you don't have satellite, you start hearing. It's just, you're there.
You roll the windows down, and you can feel it in the air. And we've talked about this. It might have been one of the very first shows we ever did. What is that moment where you finally let go? Where's that magical moment where you get to Bonnaroo where it you know that you're there, and you feel it, and it's in your it makes your skin sort of like perk up, and you get the chills. And I get it every time we hit the top of Mount Eagle every year. It never fails.
You know, and it's more than just that, Brad, because it's what we talk about. And to me, it's again the difference between this type of festival and some others. Once we're parked in our campground, wherever it's going to be, there's nowhere else to go. You know, I'm there until we leave on Monday. I know you hate that.
It's my favorite Barry Corderism. Whenever he talks about Bonnaroo, it always ends up with "you're there."
You're there. You have nowhere else to be. But for me, I mean, there's work to be done. There's tents to put up, whatever. But it's just.
It's beating the sunlight, really, is the biggest sort of stress. Is once you get parked, is beating the sunlight to put up camp in the way that you feel comfortable, and then you just get attacked by a skunk. You know, that's the fun part of it. So before we get into a fun Bonnaroo weekend this weekend, we start off the show with Syl Johnson, because I'm black, because you know there's a lot of shit going on, and. Bonnaroo's been eerily silent.
Yep.
They're not alone. If everyone has, really. There's a story in today's, was it NPR, about independent venues and the plight they're looking at.
I understand. I know where you're going. I understand the dollars and cents of it, but this is, like I've been saying, a moment that the brands that matter, the voices that matter, need to not be silent. You know, if there's one thing that I count on Bonnaroo to be, and it, what I count on them to be are their values, are their brand values. And boy, you know, it's not as if I really need them to speak up and say something, but I think that they're perfect for the moment. Especially being Bonnaroo weekend, this would be a really good time just giving some free PR. Not that they need it, but a little free PR. This would be a really, really good time to hear from an entity that preaches positivity, inclusiveness at all. You know, this is the moment. And yeah. I'm surprised of all of the major festivals, at least, Bonnaroo has said nothing. Because they're the ones that I sort of anticipated leading.
Who has said anything? Who has said anything other than Coachella is now trying to distance themselves from their wealthy owner? That whole story that came out.
Tell me about that. I don't think I've heard that.
You haven't seen that? Yeah. So there's the last two days.
The Golden Voice guy?
I guess. He's getting all kinds of flack for basically saying, who is it you think owns all these big festivals? It's wealthy billionaire Republicans. They're all Trump supporters. But don't mix the Coachella brand with his politics. So they're trying to distance themselves from that, trying to argue people, yeah, even though you're supporting him, you're still supporting, you know, whatever the Coachella brand lifestyle is. Point in bringing that up particularly is, and this is just me. This is me, but... just like you, I mean, this is what we have talked about now for 3 months because we're so invested in this festival and live music in particular, and because we know some of the people involved, they're just not talking, Brad. And it's partly, I think I can say this without giving anything away, but C3 basically, I mean, Live Nation rather, is to don't talk. Everything's got to go through them. So we're not going to hear anything out of Knoxville.
I understand. I see what you're saying. Don't talk about, you know, the business.
Anything.
That makes sense.
Anything. And my point is, I don't know if I don't have a point with any proof behind it. My gut feeling is because this whole thing is so fluid that things change and they're changing in major ways. I mean, who saw the riots, the marches coming, you know? Who saw the thing with Coachella that I just talked about coming? So, I mean, I think your point about certain segments of the community right now just need to be quiet and listen. Maybe that's giving them too much defense. I don't know. It does feel like there should be something. I don't disagree with that.
I see what you're saying, and I'm not gonna push you too hard on it, because I do understand that, you know, I don't necessarily, and I've been at odds with some of, you know, my close friends and family about this. I don't necessarily need to know what Hershey's feels about this, you know. I don't really need to know what Miller Coors thinks about the movement. But this is a layup for Bonnaroo. This is in their wheelhouse. This is everything that they preach and what their brand values are. This is everything they espouse. This is everything we celebrate when we are at the farm, when we get there, about loving each other, about protecting each other, about equality across the board. They are so good at it. And to see a brand that is such an easy layup, something doesn't feel right about it. And something feels as though almost like it's the power is being taken out of their hands.
Didn't I just say that?
I think that's what I just said. I know, but I'm not saying, I know that, but it's got to be said. Like at some point, you know.
Yeah, even if they push out an email that with a peace sign, you know, I mean, yeah, I get what you're saying. It feels like we need to hear something. We need to see something.
Okay. And I'll go you one step further. Not only is the silence strange, I'm not going to get too bent out of shape about their silence, but I am stunned that there is nothing planned for this weekend, just for Bonnaroo in general. We are, you know, 24 hours away as we sit here right now from the first act hitting the stage on
a
Thursday.
You mean like just an online something present?
Anything. Yeah. Anything. We talked about Jazz Fest in place. When Jazz Fest got canceled, weekend of Jazz Fest, you know, Lollapalooza is going to do, since they've been canceled, they're going to be doing a live stream of all the Lollapalooza. Hangout tried to do something similar. I am stunned. Now, by the way, back to what we were just talking about, Bonnaroo did say something. They participated in the blackout movement on the Tuesday where some of the industry were blacking out their social media. But other than that, we haven't heard a peep from Bonnaroo since the 1st of May. Now, that coupled with what I'm trying to get at, we are on Bonnaroo week, and I haven't seen a retrospective. I haven't seen a live point to a live show. I haven't seen the highlights of the great black performers that have graced Great Stage Park. I haven't seen a schedule of what they could put together for the weekend. Nothing. I am really surprised. I am sort of, actually, I'm not surprised. I'm stunned. I'm stunned that this Bonnaroo week is coming by and the organization is operating as if it didn't exist.
Where do you lay the blame?
I can't. How am I supposed to lay blame? I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah.
It makes no sense, though. It makes no sense at all.
I can't disagree. And the only thing I can fall back on, and it's just a total me piecing together bits of string here and there, is nobody knows what going forward looks like.
I get that, but how hard would it be to do an online stream of past Bonnaroo performances?
A lot of the folks have been furloughed. I don't know who all's working. I know of a couple people that are not there anymore.
I'm not trying to be a dick. I'm not.
No, it's a fair question.
But it's not like they didn't know the date was coming.
Yeah.
It's not like they haven't looked at a calendar. And
it's not like they don't have back videos and music and all kinds of that. So no,
they have their own radio station that you can stream online. I mean, worst case scenario, you can do an online stream. Something about this is very, very strange. Now, the only reason I bring these two things up is because they are so similar to each other, right? I can probably take, you know, their silence in the ways of the world right now and what's happening around us. Maybe I can take that. I know a lot of people who couldn't, but if I'm giving them benefit of the doubt, but couple that with also the silence for Bonnaroo week, something's weird.
Yeah.
Something's weird. Something is going on, and I don't quite know what it is. But I sure as hell want to like start waving the flag and the sign to say, am I the only one that notices this?
Yeah. Our friends Rubus are planning an event this weekend. Taco, you probably look at Reddit, and Brad, I know you do. You guys look at it a lot more than I do. Is there a lot of chatter on there, or just the occasional hey, this would be the weekend type of thing?
I'm gonna have to punt a taco on this one because I haven't looked in a long time.
Daniel actually just made a comment on our video. He said, even though, you know, the people that own the trademark are quiet, the community is as loud as ever. I mean, you know, Rubus has been doing like a virtual Bonnaroo thing this week. You know, there's something this weekend that they're planning. I don't know if we're supposed to talk about that or not, but
Yeah, good luck. Good luck finding it if they don't want you to find it.
Yeah, but you know, we follow a lot of Bonnaroo fans, and they are definitely not silent. Right. You know, today there's all kinds of pictures in the feed of, oh, this time last year I was setting up camp. This time last year I was hitting the road, and it's
I have seen those.
Yeah, you see a lot of that. So there's definitely people that want to talk about Bonnaroo, even if it's not happening. They still want to kind of relive it.
I mean, Daniel and Sharla Rubus are to Brad's point. I mean, year round, those guys radiating positivity all the time, which is terrific. And I think really sort of illustrates what you're talking about, Brad. This is not a normal brand. That's your point. It's not Hershey's chocolate. It's not a rental car place. You know, this is kind of what they are about. I get what you're saying. And I don't mean, I'm not trying to take a contrarian view just to take a contrarian view. I don't know the answer. It is weird. You would think something like, I mean, your festival down there, our festival here, we've had several conversations, and it's in part because I hound them about it, but also in part because they're just decisions that had to be made and made public. So I don't have a good answer.
Well,
I don't have an answer.
I don't either. And I'm not looking for one. I'm really not. But I do think it is something that needs to be brought up. And, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, pat our backs and say that we're something, you know, great and grand. But if the Bonnaroo folk are listening, you know, I'm glad that they did what they did about the refund policy. That is they should, you know, be celebrated for that because, you know, they did the right thing. Doesn't matter if it was, you know, late or whatever. They came around and did the right thing. This one, you know, if we have a voice, we should use it, and it is to ask a question: why exactly are we not getting anything? Which, again, it sounds a little presumptuous that we're owed something, but you know, it's a testament to a brand that we love so much that we really wish would interact with us. It's sort of like calling Dad, and Dad not returning our calls for a while. Is it me? Is Dad mad at me? I sure would love to go play ball with him. I'd love to go play catch.
The last update on the Bonnaroo.com website was April 28th.
Ooh.
That's when they updated about the refund.
Well, okay. I've said what I needed to say in emergency podcast mode. I said what I needed to say. That's fine. So let's move on to what we know, which is Coachella officially canceled. Lollapalooza officially canceled. Here's what I know. The headliners for Lollapalooza were Foo Fighters, Lizzo, and Kendrick. Of course, yeah, I mean it's a good lineup. It's a pop lineup. It's, you know, what you see when you go to Lollapalooza. They tried every look. I tweeted this last night. There was no chance that it was happening. None. And I got nobody to tell me otherwise. But they did try very hard to figure out and play the thought exercise as to what could happen, what they could make work. And nothing came of it. The mayor was on board. The festival wanted it to happen. Live Nation wanted it to happen. All the people that needed it to happen, they wanted. They were going to make it work. But just never even got off the ground. So, you know, that's something that we said back in March, the 1st of March, and never really changed up until yesterday. And they made the right call, but what does it mean for Bonnaroo? Look, I'm gonna punt, but I'm going to tell you my very, 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 very informed opinion. Bonnaroo is not happening, and it sucks to say. But if I had to start talking out of both sides of my mouth as to why exactly they're probably not doing something this weekend, it's probably because they know they're not going to have a festival at all, and they don't want to, you know, poke the fire a little bit.
It could be. It could also be, again, and they're different animals, but our Riverbend Festival here announced they were canceling last week. They were looking for a fall date, had a fall date, actually had 95% of the acts. They had everybody but three acts agreed to the new date. But they basically determined that if they needed 40,000 tickets to make money, they weren't going to get anywhere close to that. I think that's what all of these other festivals are looking at, in addition to the things we've talked about. You know, Moon River is 2 weeks before Bonnaroo in September here. Their ticket sales, they didn't sell out as they have in the past. But that's a, even though it's a much smaller, Bonnaroo had sold out 80,000 tickets. Moon River is 11,000. 60% of the people come from out of town. So now you're talking about airplanes, hotels, and all that other stuff. So it's a different animal than like what Riverbend is, where you get in your car, you drive 20 minutes.
As an aside, when did Moon River go on sale? Do you remember?
January?
January, February.
Okay.
Valentine's Day weekend.
Is that it?
I remember now. Yeah, it was February 14th.
Okay. So point being, I guess, is they're all asking, as we've talked about over and over and over, what does the model look like? Brad, when you said a couple of weeks ago on this podcast, asking about, could I envision myself on a Saturday afternoon, shoulder to shoulder with, pick a number, 40,000, 60,000, 80,000 people, you know, after having camped for 4 days and being tired and malnourished and worn down. And that was, that image alone is strong enough that I think people are questioning. But like I said, then you throw in the porta potties and the FEMA showers and the.
So I had a conversation with one of our camp guys, Nicky T. And I told him about a dream that I had the other night. And he called me. He's like, man, I just need to get this off my chest.
That's not how you say it. Say it the way he says it.
Hey, man.
That's better.
I just need to call and tell you, this, my body is reacting to Bonnaroo week. So he basically tried to explain to me how, even though he's not going to Bonnaroo, his body still feels like he is. And how, you know, all of the endorphins are moving for some odd reason, I guess, because, you know, after year of doing this, it's just trained to do it. Yep. But he said something, I was telling him about a dream that I had the night before. It's so odd that he called to talk about Bonnaroo, because I had this dream where it was a really hot Saturday. We are walking from, you know, this to which, and a line of shirtless men were walking towards us, right? And Taco, don't get too crazy. The dream's not about shirtless men.
So it's that kind of dream.
Yeah. So we're walking towards, and they're shoulder to shoulder. And it's obvious that they're going to have to move out of the way. Well, we wedge ourselves in between and walk through this band of shirtless, sweaty men. And then we all look at each other, covered in their own sweat, knowing that we just got the COVID. I woke up and saying to myself, that's not a dream. That would have happened. And the moment that I felt that morning, I said, I don't know if I could do this. I don't know if I could even go if it was happening this weekend. There's no possible way I feel comfortable enough to share somebody else's sweat.
I can tell you that I did a story for the paper this past Sunday following Riverbend's announcement that they were canceling, because they're going to shift their energies to a summer festival, a 6-night riverfront nights. Brad, you're familiar with it. It's Saturday night down on the river, 1500 people, anywhere from, you know, 1000 to 2500, depending on the act. They're going to invite nonprofits, food trucks, all these other people to hopefully to make it, in their mind, a community event, bring everybody back out. The reason I'm mentioning that is, I know from talking to people that Birmingham is looking, Atlanta's looking, Nashville, Knoxville, all the venue types, the festival types. It's really the first one out of the gate, and they all want to see. Obviously, if how it works. Do people show up? Can they make any money on it? Will people get sick? Will the mayor even let it happen? There's no guarantee that it's July 11th. And the mayor has made it very clear here that he could...
The first one's going to be July 11th?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
While Chattanooga becomes one of the hotbeds of the COVID, and Tennessee's numbers just keep going up and up and up, they're planning on doing an outdoor event for almost 2,000 people in a month.
They're going to do six a week, one a Saturday for 6 weeks. So, yes. And your face, I honestly, your face, I think somewhat
is
explains. I'm glad you're pun. I'm so glad to see it. I think is part of that discussion.
My face is part of the discussion.
No, it doesn't explain why, you know, Bonnaroo has not said anything this weekend, but I think it is why it's so complicated. I think nobody wants to move forward and then have to back up. Nobody wants to.
That's right.
You know what I mean? And so, to be honest, the Friends of the Festival folks, the Riverbend folks, they just have reached a point where they feel like they have to do something. This is what they have. Now, is it right? Will it work? It's a bold step.
Well, here's something interesting to piggyback on what you're saying, and maybe this is a little bit more news that I didn't know that I was going to share, but there is a major southeastern city that is preparing for fourth quarter events in the outdoors for something up to 10,000 to 15,000 people. And the city is preparing for 2 to 3 of them in the fourth quarter. Now, I don't know if it's going to happen, but it's a Live Nation initiative. And, you know, whether or not they're doing it in other cities, I don't know. But I do know of this specific city, and I do know it's going to be outdoors, and I know that it's not going to be in a theater, and I know it's going to be somewhere between 10,000 to 15,000 people, and they do have, you know, some major artists ready to go.
Country?
No. Hmm. No.
Yeah, because
now whether or not that works, I just don't know. I don't know if it I'll say it this way: New Orleans, at least, is going in the right direction. We opened phase two as of yesterday, but we're doing it while the numbers are going down and down and down. I think that our last number was only like 100 people, new cases as of yesterday or the day before. So the numbers are going in the right direction. And the city in question, the numbers are going in the right direction. Nobody feels confident in it, but it is something they're at least looking at. And I'm telling you, I worry that they're going to force feed something for the sake of making some sort of money by the end of the year. Now, somebody can argue if that's responsible or not, and it may be come September, October, November, but it does feel a little forced. It does feel a little forced.
Oh, it feels a lot forced. It feels, there's several factors that it feels like to me. One is, just because people want it to be over, they think it's over, you know, data, you know, be damned, whatever. It's, I've suffered enough. I want it to be over. Therefore it's over. There's definitely some element of that.
Hey, I got my haircut. I can't I say that I'm immune to it.
Me too. I went to lunch. There's another element that we just have to do something. Businesses and organizations are just watching their lives go away, and look, sitting doing nothing is unacceptable.
Right, and believe me, as a guy that sort of owns a business, seeing the quarantine thing start to rebound and getting, you know, some good days and a week under our belt, and then all of a sudden, you know, mass hysteria and the country on fire. you know, it's one hit after another after another. And priorities right now are not necessarily opening a business and making sure that, you know, money's rolling in. That's just not the priority. The priority right now is equality and justice. So, you know, that's just another part of the, you know, let's kicking the can down the road to see
exactly
when is the appropriate time. But again, you know, you get to September, and we are not going to be at a zero number. This is not going to ever go away. It's not going to be just magically not around. We're going to have to figure out a way to live with it and operate with it. And, you know, whether or not there is a shot you're going to take or not, you're going to have to figure out a way to live amongst it. It's just going to be our intermediate future.
Again, I'm basing this on hair, strings, threads, whatever that I know, nothing specific, but I've had several restaurants, businesses, events, even somewhat what Riverbend is doing. Their approach at this point now is whatever we had before is over. That the whatever we do forward is a brand new thing. I don't know. Again, I don't know if a Bonnaroo can do that or wants to do that because of 20 years of building this unbelievable brand. But I know that a lot of them are in their boardrooms are saying, okay, great what we did before, but everything has changed. Or exactly what, you know, let's talk about exactly what has changed and how do we take that and move forward. So, again, things like, can you see 100,000 people in a field in Manchester anytime soon, even next year?
Let me say something to you that astonished me yesterday. The New Orleans Saints are trying to be at full capacity come September. LSU football wants 100% capacity. And if the Saints can't get 100% capacity, they want 75%. Dude, yeah. That doesn't make any logical sense.
NASCAR's the same. NASCAR's, they're going to have, 5,000 people in Talladega, I think, coming up.
Right. But look, I understand the argument against it or for it. And I understand why, you know, people want it to happen. And I know that we're going to have to live amongst it at some point. But to your point, we've got to figure out a new way to probably do all of this. And do I foresee LSU football getting 100,000 people in a stadium? You're damn right I do.
Yeah, there are certain things I could see believe happening.
I don't know if anybody will let that happen.
Yeah, I'm conflicted. I mean, I know what you're saying, and I could see there are 100,000 people that think this is all a hoax, and they would show up, and they love LSU football so much that they're gonna go. But yeah, I just how an organizer responsibly does that, makes it happen, lets it happen, is one thing. And are there truly that many people that would just don't think they're going to get sick?
Man, I mean, let's ask yourself, if you're Bonnaroo and it's in September, how many amongst you in the decision making room says, screw it, just do it?
Screw it. What's the number? What is my comfortable number? Yeah, I don't know.
I mean,
would I go if it's 10 or 20 or 30,000?
But come August, do you not foresee plenty of people in decision-making rooms saying, I don't care anymore. It doesn't matter. We'll you either get it. If you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't.
Yeah. No, it's happening now. I mean, it's happening now with the I mean, we're seeing it on small scales with some of the restaurants that are opening. I don't own a restaurant, but I get how tough that would be to have been told for 3 months you can't open, and then to be told you can have 20 people there and 60 show up. It'd be tough to run 40 off, you know?
Right, and by the way, your PPP loan's about done. You don't have any more of the PPP loan money. So good luck trying to – and then all by the way – your business that's just now starting to get back on its feet can't really operate the way that you want it to because the world is on fire.
Yeah, there's other things happening.
There's a bigger stuff going on than you know whether or not I can get a cheeseburger. So
that's why I still to defend a little bit. We don't know what discussions actually are going on in the boardrooms, and I mean these guys running Bonnaroo and events like it got to be, you know, what's next, and just being so careful. I mean, it would have been easy to want to come out 2 months ago and say, we're doing it, because Riverbend tried to do that and then found out there were certain realities that they couldn't overcome.
I don't know, man. And I'll come back to where I started. These two specific instances, equality, justice, and then the second one being, this is your week. This is your week on the calendar. These are layups for this brand, and why they aren't even on the court is bizarre to me. Absolutely bizarre.
I can't disagree.
All right. Anything else to get to before we go?
No, we've got this. We're going to put this out there just live, let it go. And then we've got,
we're going to put this online, as soon as humanly possible. I mean, it's ready to go.
Yeah. We'll put this one up and then this weekend, we're going to release, Emmy Sunshine, right?
Yeah. Tell me about Emmy Sunshine. Yeah.
We've got our interview with, Emmy Sunshine, who I just find this fascinating. Emmy is, I know she's either just turned 16 or about to turn 16, but she's been performing for a long time. She was asked by none other than Bootsy Collins to co-write
Emmy Sunshine. For the moment. Bradley Black Cloud. I get that call all the time. Bootsy's called me all the time.
Yeah, but she was real cool and sat with us. I know you came on a little late, but she did an interview with us last week to talk about the song, and Bela Fleck is on it. Victor Wooten is on it. Cornel West, who is all over the media right now,
And is the lone man that still rocks the ascot. I really appreciate the way that he still has the ascot going. I wish that I could pull that off.
Yeah. But so the timing is great. That's the reason she's not on the Bonnaroo lineup. We just wanted to talk to her. I did, to be honest, at Bootsy. All I needed to hear was Bootsy. This song is relevant. It's an of the moment sort of song that they did, and it releases Friday. We should put it out there as another podcast as part of what the Rubus folks have going, right, Taco?
We'll get it out.
Maybe we'll on that episode we'll talk a little camp stuff. You know, reminisce about camp a little bit, because I have a feeling it's Wednesday now, but I feel like you give us 24, 48 hours, we're gonna all feel a little sad.
Yeah.
Especially when, and here's the thing I didn't want to say, but whoo, did you see that weather forecast? Oh my God.
It's gonna be nice.
Oh man.
If you were here right now, you'd be glad you're wherever you are.
Last I saw, it was 80 degrees is the high this weekend.
Yeah.
Again, and then let me make it clear to those who don't know Tennessee in the summer. June is not the summer anymore. The summer is now September. So if you are thinking that September is going to be some sort of like relief for the heat, forget it. It is going to be hotter in September than it would be in June. 100%.
Well, and if you're also not familiar with Tennessee, go take a big, heavy wool sweater, get it wet, go stand in the shower for a while. That's pretty much what it feels like right now.
All right. There you go. Anything else before we go? Taco?
Nope.
That's it.
Radiate positivity.
All right. Thanks for indulging me in this emergency episode. There's a lot going on in the world, and it's a hard place to navigate right now.
Seriously, if people would just listen and be empathetic, that would go a long way. Yeah. Try to see it from somebody else's point of view.
And by the way, I wish that next time we do this, you guys give me the memo on the tie-dye shirt policy.
I wouldn't change it right before. The hell? Heck, man, it's Bonnaroo week.
Yeah, okay. All right. Talk to you next time. Love you. Bye.
Hey. How y'all feeling?
journey through the stories that define the artists playing Bonnaroo. Who are they? What are they? What will you see? The what? Which bands? This year, that matter.
Yay.
With Brad Steiner and Barry Corder.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.